Back. back, folks, to the Officer Jack McGlam program, and we have one of my personal heroes on. He helped me get started 24 years ago, understanding what is going on in this nation and around the world that every police officer and soldier and private citizen needs to know about, and that is who is truly in charge. You know, we think when we get out and vote and we get out and, work for a campaign or something like that, or give donations, that we're deciding the direction our nation is going. Well, that's not true at all, and there's no man better to talk about these things with than Eustace Mullins. Some of the books he's written that have become national bestsellers and international bestsellers is The Federal Reserve Conspiracy, The Writ of Martyrs, The Curse of Canaan, Murder by Injection, The Rape of Justice, The Great Betrayal, on and on and on. And today I invited him on because we police and soldiers here are hearing more and more around the world as we read the foreign press about big, massive amounts of death, just millions and millions of people dying because of flu viruses, the bird virus, and all kinds of viruses out there. And his book, Murder by Injection, is one of the most important reads that any American can read and understand. So, Eustace, I want you to pick up the microphone and just give us what we need to know about what brought you to write this wonderful, well, it's not wonderful so much, but it's very, very important to all of us, about the murder by injection. What was the basis of that?
Well, there was no basis at all. I stayed away from the medical profession most of my life, and I had no interest in what they were doing, and they didn't bother me, and I didn't bother them. But there was a sports writer in Washington, where I was living at the time, named Morris Beale. And his wife had to go to the hospital for some minor infection, and her treatment was so horrible that the guy went on a crusade. He gave up sports writing, and he founded a newsletter on medical matters, and they published it for a number of years. And he also published a number of books. He published a book exposing Morris Fishbein, the head of the AMA, which he called Medical Mussolini, because Fishbein was a total dictator. And he published a little book called The Drug Trust, and in this book he said that Rockefeller controls all of the drug companies in America. Well, I thought that was a little far-fetched, that it was hard to believe. And so I went over to the Library of Congress, and I started checking out some things, and I found out that he did control all the drug companies in America. And so this startled me so that I thought maybe I could find out something more in some book about the American Medical Association. Well, I looked through the Library of Congress, which is very comprehensive, and I found out there was no history of the American Medical Association because they had never wanted one. They didn't dare have one, and they still don't have one.
Yes.
So I got busy and wrote one because I had all the facilities there, and it was one of the most fascinating things I've ever done. And I subtitled my book, for my work, I subtitled it The Story of the Medical Conspiracy Against America, which is that you just mentioned that people are dying in large numbers and pandemics and epidemics and so forth. Most of those are engineered. And there's a political group in Georgia, a federal organization called the Center for Disease Control. And it's just that. And I found out that it was a disease control, because every time I went through Atlanta to go to a meeting, I would have to change planes in Atlanta, and I would come home with the most terrible cold that I ever had in my life. And it seemed that they were daily pumping all sorts of germs through the Atlanta Hartsfield International Airport, testing various viruses and so forth, and you could hardly go through there without contracting some terrible disease. And so I almost became a victim of it myself. And so this launched me on a crusade, and I wrote the book, and I found out that I didn't know if anybody would buy the book or not, because I thought, well, the American Medical Association is going to get excited about that. But the book it's in its third printing, and it's been very well received, and some organizations are promoting the book. And I must say that Jack told me to talk about the murder by injection, and I got it out and started reading it. And it was so fascinating, I've been reading it all day. So I have to blame him for that.
Oh, you did a great show this morning on my morning broadcast, brother. And
yeah, that was very good.
Got me reading today, too. So.
Uh-huh. Well, it's worth reading, I must say. I got a lot out of it. If I keep reading my books, I'll probably learn something.
You might learn something, that's right. Well, listen, you have tremendous write-ups on this book. I'm looking at one right here, a book review, and Murder by Injection, The Medical Conspiracy Against America. And, wow, what a write-up these people gave you explaining how the ruthless Rockefeller syndicate under the control of the world financial structure, chiefly the Rothschilds, played a major political, health, and educational roles in America. My goodness gracious. Tell us how all of these things come together under just one family, the Rockefeller family, brother. How did this family bring this type of a thing off, this kind of control?
Well, Rockefeller, one of his famous sayings is that competition is a sin. So he believed in monopoly, and he wouldn't touch anything unless he had a monopoly. So he got a monopoly of all the oil refineries in the United States, so that he could charge any price he wanted to. And then after he got made so much money from his oil monopoly, he took over the credit and money of the United States through this fake bank that he set up called the Federal Reserve System.
Mm-hmm. That's in with the Rothschilds, doesn't it?
Oh, it's in with the Rothschilds. They're in there and everything because they're very public-spirited people. They believe in getting control of anything that has to do with the public.
Yes.
And then from the money system, he went into the medical system. And at that time, the medical profession was a very poorly paid and not a very big money deal. But he's made it into one of the biggest corporations in the world.
Yes, absolutely. A syndicate. Yes, a health syndicate, I guess it is. Huh?
It is a syndicate. Everything he touches becomes a syndicate. And I said for many years about his Federal Reserve System, I said, it's not federal, no more than Federal Express. And it has no reserves because it prints its own money. It doesn't need any reserves. And it's not a system at all. It's a criminal syndicate.
Yeah.
And I've been calling the Federal Reserve System a criminal syndicate publicly for 50 years. And I'm waiting for them to sue me.
Well, you've been right every single year. That's why they don't sue you.
No, they don't sue me. In fact, they buy my books. So whenever I announce a new book, the Federal Reserve Library in Washington orders a copy right away.
Yeah, see what you found out about them, huh?
Well, they want to keep up to date. What's Mueller's doing now?
Very good, very good. Well, I'll tell you, it's a wonderful book, and I want to give this out several times during the program, brother. How can people get copies of your wonderful books? And
well, I set up a website to facilitate the ordering of the book, and
okay.
You could just check into my website. It gives you all the information right on there.
Very good.
And that's www.eustacemullins.com.
Very easy, yes. Now spell Eustace for us.
Eustace.
A-C-E, okay. And Mullins, M-U-L-L-I-N-S.
Oh, that's just an Irish name. You know, the funny thing about my ancestor, Guillaume Mullins, was that he wasn't Irish at all. But Mullins has become a very famous Irish name, and there never was a Mullins family in Ireland.
Yes.
Because he was a French Huguenot. And they were going to, in the Huguenot massacres, they were going to murder him and his family. And he had enough money to get out of the country and go to London. And from there, he came over to the United States. And that's why the name Mullins got on the map.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm sure happy he got here because we've had you to educate us for all these years, brother. Now, tell us what Eustace means. Very unusual name.
Well, a Lebanese minister came by a few years ago. And he wanted copies of my books to take to King Hussein of Jordan and Saddam Hussein of Iraq, the infamous Saddam Hussein.
Yes.
And so I gave him the books, and he took them over there and gave them to these two Husseins. And while he was here, he told me, he said, you know, your name Eustace is a very interesting name. And I said, well, I've often wondered what it actually meant because I could never trace it very well. And he said, well, it means, in Aramaic, the language of Christ, it means Eustace, means justice, equal justice for everyone, which is a very precise definition. And I had no idea it meant anything like that. I thought it meant justice in some way, because the names are very close, Eustace and Justice, but I did not know that it had this ramifications.
Well, certainly your educational and research work has given a lot of people that kind of justice, brother, so and knowledge, so we think you've been properly named. Yes. Okay, now, I see here murder by injection. What do you? Why did you choose injection when this book goes into the syndicates that control? My goodness gracious, brother, you've got political control, economic control, spiritual control, educational control, and even bodily control through our health. So why the name murder by injection?
Well, when I chose that title, I felt it was too strong. I thought it would turn people off. But I couldn't name it anything else because that's what they did. They ejected people. I had been in the U.S. Air Force throughout World War II. And I stood in the vaccination lines while they were injecting us soldiers, and I saw a lot of them pass out right in front of me, and they dragged them away. I never saw them again. But luckily, I didn't pass out, and so I'm still here.
Hang on, Eustace. We're coming up on a break, brother.
All right.
Yes, folks, get your pencil and papers ready. We're going to have a lot of good information this hour. Also, we'll open the phone lines up, too, if you'd like to call in and ask some questions. Be right back after these important messages.
Post that one of the most exclusive residential areas of Washington, D.C., they now find that it was built on a chemical dump which was used during World War I, and that the people that had these million-dollar homes in this particular area, it's built on a chemical dump that they can't live there. So sometimes they sow the seeds of their own destruction.
Yes.
Or they reap what they have sown, I should say.
Right, yes. Very interesting. Okay, so now once back, I remember, and I was just looking on the break for this quote by Bertrand Russell. You might remember years ago he made a quote about our children and how they would be controlled, mentally controlled. And he said on a quote, and I can't remember exactly, but they would be controlled by injunction and injection.
That's true, injunction and injection.
That quote of his, what was he talking about there?
Well, he was talking about, and his cousin, Aldous Huxley, wrote a book about this called Brave New World, in which the children were turned into robots through mind control while they were in school, and encouraged to experiment with sex while they were 8 or 10 years old. And all of this, it sounds like a calendar of activities in a daily school in America right today.
Amen, right today. Sounds like it was a...
And he wrote this in 1932. It was a bestseller in 1932.
Brave New World. Well, very good. So then tell us about what you want us to know about control of the health industry. I remember there was a man that used to tour with me and speak, a doctor, somebody that used to be a veterinarian, and he used to say that you go to the hospital and you got a better chance of dying from going to the hospital and the reason you went to the hospital. And so tell us what we need to know about the medical profession and the health industry today.
Well, the sanitary conditions in the hospitals are pretty bad, and because the staff is a very incompetent staff. And the doctors really have very little to do with it. They come by for 5 minutes at 9 o'clock in the morning, and you don't see them all day long, the rest of the day. And so you have this staff, the housekeeping staff of the hospital, who are very low-paid workers, and they have no ambition at all. They don't participate in the money. You know, the doctors make about $1 million a year, from $400,000 to $1 million a year, and some of the surgeons make $5 million a year. But most of the staff at the hospital, they're working for a minimum wage. So they have very little interest in maintaining standards of cleanliness, that sort of thing. And so I was in our local hospital about a week ago, and they said, don't come in the hospital if you have a cough or a cold, because we have a flu epidemic here. In other words, it's not safe to be in the hospital, which I thought was a pretty good warning.
In the hospital. Stay out of the hospital if you don't want to get sick. Well, that's basically what I've heard from other doctors over the years. If you don't want to get sick, don't go to the hospital.
Well, I had a doctor friend who was a very good friend, and he told me one day, he said, stay away from doctors. He was trying to be a friend and telling me that.
Tell us about epidemics, brother. I know that in your book I read about a tremendous epidemic in England, and they were back giving vaccinations to people, and they finally banned vaccinations in 1948. What was that all about?
Well, vaccinations have been periodically banned in every Europe, every country in Europe. I think Germany banned vaccinations for a while after World War II, because during the occupation of Germany by the Allied armies, they took over the medical profession, and they were vaccinating everybody like crazy, and people were dying from it. And so out of self-protection, the German people banned vaccination. And Finland banned vaccination, and a number of other European countries have done it from time to time.
Well, they're sure pushing it in the USA today, aren't they? Children 6 months old.
Well, vaccination is a wonderful method of population control. It's the final solution. So that's why they won't give it up.
Yes. Yeah, I had a new grandchild, my eighth grandchild, come into the world a couple years ago, and I was at the hospital with this little tyke, and she was a preemie and about half the size of a normal baby being born, and she was in the hospital for 2 weeks there, and they were going to release her. And before they were going to allow her out, they were going to give her like 6 vaccinations.
Yeah, they give them 6 vaccinations in the first 6 weeks.
This little preemie baby. And I told him no, and I told my son no, and he told them no, and we walked out without this little baby getting those vaccinations. I didn't know what they were going to shoot into that child. But I do know autism is on the rise across the nation and around the world.
Well, you probably saved his life.
Hold on with that thought there, brother. We'll be right back and talk about autism and what happens when children get these shots when we return. Eustace, okay? Okay, we'll be right back, folks.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
The question about childhood health problems like autism is going crazy today, and these other things. What do you believe is the cause of some of these things?
Well, what I believe doesn't matter, but what is actually causing them? They've had this numerous investigations, and the investigations always come out and say they conclude about learned scientists and doctors that. Vaccines do not cause autism, but they won't say what does cause it. So it leaves you kind of up in the air.
Yes, and I think it's gone up how many thousands of percent autism in the children?
There's so many of them around. I was in Salt Lake City about 10 years ago lecturing at Brigham Young University, And they put me up with a nice family there in Salt Lake City. And this was a man and his wife, and they had a grown daughter from a previous marriage. She was about 22 and a beautiful girl. And she was autistic, and she had the mind of about a three-year-old.
Yeah.
So this girl had no future whatsoever. She could never marry and have children. And her life had just been destroyed because of this Pertussin vaccine that she took for a cough, that it just blew her mind.
Oh, my goodness.
It was gone.
Goodness.
There's no coming back from that sort of thing. It's absolutely, it's a life-threatening situation, but you can't do one thing about it. Once it hits your brain, you're gone.
And we believe that because of mercury and other things...
Well, mercury plays a large role. There's no question about it.
Yeah, so injections. We're back to injections again, aren't we?
Yeah, we certainly are. An injection is what is going on, unfortunately.
Yeah. And now they've got all these huge megalo viruses going around and telling us in the news right now that we're going to get the bird flu and die. And I think they're getting ready to do a lot more injections, aren't they?
Well, they certainly are. And the fact is that we really don't have any defense against these pandemics because the vaccinations and the chemical medications that we've been taking for so many years have destroyed our immune system. So we're helpless when these pandemics hit us because we don't have the defenses anymore. See, every child, every baby has a wonderful natural immune system. And so what the medical profession has done is systematically destroy that immune system through vaccinations and so forth.
Right.
So
away.
That the child will have to be in a doctor, will go to doctors and be in the hospitals for the rest of his life because he has no defense.
Wow. Well, we hadn't opened the phone lines up that Eustace, but do you mind if we do that? We have a caller on the line already.
Well, let's do that. I don't know. He may tell me something I don't know.
Okay. Well, yes, we learn all the time. Let's go.
That's what I'm here for, to learn.
That's right. Me too. Let's go and give out the phone number, and then we'll go to Michael in Kentucky. If you'd like to call in tonight, folks, call 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. Michael in Kentucky, welcome to the Officer Jack McLam program. You're on with Eustace Mullins.
Well, great. It's a real great privilege to be able to talk with Eustace. I called when you were on another show, on another show the other day, and you mentioned that there's not much you can, or there's nothing you can do to come back from some of these vaccine injuries, but I think they have shown, at least with autism, whether it's a vaccine injury or not, that sometimes courses of the omega 3, 6, and 9 fatty acids from fish, flax, and
omega is very good.
The boric oils, as well as the B12, B6 folic acid combination has been helpful with a broad spectrum of neurological disorders such as MS all the way down to autism. And you see some improvement. And even I think one study that got buried under the rubble of 9/11 that I read that came out something like early October of 2001 was a study that repeated the results of an earlier study that within 6 weeks of giving schizophrenics and that were hospitalized B vitamins, B6, B12, folic acid, they were almost back to full functioning, and some of them could, and many of them could even be released. And one thing that they discovered was that many of them had a latent toxoplasmosis, not histoplasmosis, but toxoplasmosis that many cats, house cats, carry.
Oh, yes.
That because they get it from mice, and that apparently that little microbe has evolved to exist in many warm-blooded mammals, not just cats and mice, but there's a parasitic, you know, thing that goes back and forth there. But I think that they've removed most of the childhood vaccines, I think if not all of them, they've removed the mercury back in 1999, from what I've heard now, unless they're lying to us. But I think there's got to be some other preservatives in there. I really don't understand why they're putting preservatives in the vaccines, because they have to be used that year, do they not? They have to be used within so many months.
Well, they have to be used during that year, but they also have to be constituted so that the body cannot reject them, and so they're more or less in your system for the rest of your life when you have a vaccine.
Well, yeah, and that simian B40 virus that was in the polio in the late 50s to the early 60s, I think something like 57 through 63, they incubated it in monkey livers or something.
Oh, yes.
And that apparently has shown some transmissibility from mother to child. And they've noticed that that simian B40 the monkey virus has showed up predominantly in a lot of cancers.
My gosh.
Yeah, so there's a whole other line of research to do, but one of the things that I run across and looking up stuff.
Well, I did see something recently, the tamoxifen, the mercury element in the vaccines, that they claim that they're not using that much anymore.
Well,
but I don't know. They probably got something just as bad.
In the last couple of months, I heard something about the flu virus this year, the flu vaccine, that if you look at, if you isolate out the amount of mercury that's in the flu, the sum of, and I guess there's more than one manufacturer for the flu vaccine, but you would have to weigh something like 530 pounds in order for that to be the FDA-approved safe level of mercury in your body. Now, some people can metabolize mercury better than others, and so some babies, you know, in the past that received the mercury vaccines, it wasn't a high enough mercury load to throw them into autism, but it no doubt affected them some, I would think.
Oh, it affects them, no question about it. I have a whole chapter on mercury in my book, and when I didn't know it until I looked it up doing my research, but mercury is simply one of the most dangerous substances that humans can come in contact with.
Well, we get it from lots of different directions between the fillings and fish or whatever else, and I wasn't even aware. You know, a lot of people talk about mercury from coal-burning power plants. But every time there's a forest fire, it releases mercury into the fish.
Oh, and, I see.
Yeah. So, and that's, it may not be as dangerous of a type, you know, isotope of mercury, but, you know, I found that out last year, and I thought, oh, my, you know, if there's a forest fire in the vicinity, you might want to consider not eating the fish, you know, in recent.
Yeah. Michael, I would say, Michael, that there is probably, like you say, a level that can be metabolized by the human body, and all they have to do is push it over that level where they get their population control. You know, we'll get it some from fish and we'll get some from here, but if they can push it up above the level that it can't be metabolized and will injure the human body, then I think that's where they're aiming for.
Well, not to sound like, you know, a conspiracy theorist, but I believe the Nazis researched bombarding the populace with fluoride, and we get that.
They didn't just research it.
They used it.
They used it.
It zombified people, and it put them in a more of a impulsive behavior type state, because not only were they, you know, today we get it in our fruit juices that are anything in the grocery store that has water as the main ingredient is going to come from a municipal water supply that is no doubt fluoridated.
Yes.
And so not only do we get it from our local water supply, but, you know, it's going to be in the reconstituted orange juice or anything else.
Yeah.
So, it, you know, that's another thing that I think it affects your melatonin and your sleep cycle.
Oh, it does that, yes.
Yeah,
Eustace, don't you have something in your book, Eustace, about the use of fluoride by the Soviets and the Germans too?
Yes, I do. I cover that very thoroughly because it's a very important subject. And the fact is that the Nazis and the communists were great rivals, and they fought each other to the death. But they both believed and found the use of sodium fluoride to be very useful in controlling the population.
Wow.
It made them very passive. Well, Stalin found in his concentration camps that by giving the prisoners sodium fluoride in the water, that he only needed one-third the number of guards to guard the camp.
Except for Sobibor.
Yeah.
You know, they did all this stuff to remember Auschwitz.
Oh, yeah.
And nobody wants to talk about Sobibor because that's the only case where they escaped.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That was, I think there was 600 that that led the revolt, and they took out half a dozen or so of the Nazi guards when so many of the officers had went away to a meeting, and they took the opportunity to take out many of the rest of them that were on the ground.
Yeah.
And then out of 600, I think there was about half that survived, but a lot of them ended up having to run through minefields and stuff, and they couldn't take out all of the guard towers with the machine guns. So the Germans hated that so much that they tore the camp down and planted pine trees and tried to erase the record of the camp.
Sobibor, I remember
it was a big,
that.
They big made failure.
They made a movie out of that, Michael.
Well, yeah, I know it.
I never saw the movie, but I've heard about Sobibor all my life, and I never heard about that successful revolt there.
Well, yeah, and they've done a pretty good job of covering it up. You know,
they've covered it up very well.
I bet you these FEMA camp people have really studied that to try to make sure it doesn't happen again if we ever have to do that.
Well, they certainly have, because you don't want to lose control.
No.
Right. Okay,
thanks for taking my call.
Thanks a lot, Michael.
Bye.
You'll call back again. Folks, the phones are open, 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443, if you call in. Let's see, we have Terry, is it, in Texas? Terry in Texas, you're on with Eustace Mullins.
Hey, Jack.
Yes.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Terry.
Well, I've never called in before to any of the shows, but I've been listening to Mr. Jones and the other programs for a while.
I see.
But I realize this is a little bit off the subject, but I was wondering if your guest knew anything about chemtrails and anything that might be good for protecting yourself against that.
Well, let's ask Eustace. What do you think, Eustace?
Well, one of my publishers that I write for, Lawrence Patterson, who publishes the newspaper Criminal Politics, has written a great deal about chemtrails, but I myself have never really sort of researched the subject because it's so ephemeral. You know, this vapors are going through the air 10,000 feet above your head, but there's no doubt that they're dumping tons of stuff up and down the East Coast for this stuff, and nobody knows what it is or how much they're putting out and what it's doing to people.
Well, they seem to be doing that in our area today, and I was just kind of concerned about that.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was in Australia and New Zealand speaking down there a few years back, and I looked up in the sky, and they were crisscrossing the sky in New Zealand and Australia when I was down there with the chemtrails. And then I was in Mexico with my sons doing some scuba diving a number of years ago. And doggone if they weren't down there in Mexico doing the same thing, crisscrossing the sky. So Eustace and Terry, I just can't help but think that this may be a massive population control situation where over years it will affect people, and especially the infirm, the older people, and maybe even the young people in some way.
Well, a lot of this stuff comes down through the air and it soaks into the ground, so there's no telling. There's probably no way you could get rid of it. It's probably there forever.
And but it comes up in the crops.
Oh, yes.
Up in the crops, whatever
and
it is.
A lot of the chemtrails come from fighter pilots in the Washington and Norfolk area that come right over my hometown right here in Virginia. They crisscross all summer long.
They're
dumping stuff every bit. And there's a government operation. There are government planes. And there's no airline involved in any such thing. It's purely a government operation.
Well, it's massive, and I was trying to compute with a officer in the military about what kind of a staff it would take to be able to fuel these planes with that chemical and handle all these flights all over this world, crisscrossing the world. And it is so massive, Eustace and Terry, you can't even imagine the type of money we're talking about. I think you'd have to have free money like the Federal Reserve has it. You just print up the printing press, you just crank it up and just let it go in order to fund something like several $1 billion a day just to handle an operation like that is what we calculated.
Well, that's what the home front security operation is probably, because I saw they just gave another $30 billion to them, so it's pretty expensive operation.
You said it. My goodness. Well, Terry, thanks for calling in. Appreciate it.
Okay, one other question.
Yes.
I was just curious if he's heard anything about colloidal silver, oregano oil, or Echinacea goldensii, any of these things being effective against killing different viruses, flu virus, staph virus, common cold. They claim the silver will do all that, and the oregano oil, they're claiming it can kill the cold virus in 48 hours.
What do you know, Eustace?
Well, my friends tell me that colloidal silver works perfectly on those things, and they recommend it and use it themselves. And so apparently it's very effective. Now, the oregano oil, I suspect, is very good because a lot of your seasonings are very powerful herbs, and oregano is one of the best ones. So I would definitely say that I wouldn't pass up a chance to get onto those things.
Well, somebody's even advertising something for chemtrails now, and I'm not familiar with the company. It's a new advertiser on RBN, I think.
I see, yes.
And I'm just trying to find out more about this stuff.
Yeah, we all
I've tried a lot of these products that I can get from GNC, and it definitely seems to have helped with the last respiratory thing that's going around in my area.
Well, good, Terry. Glad you brought that up. Yeah.
Well, a lot of those products are being advertised and sold through the National Health Federation, and I've been invited to one of their meetings soon again. I lectured with them for 10 years, and they get an awfully lot of good stuff at their meetings.
Okay.
Okay, thank you, Officer Jack.
Terry, thanks for calling in. Call back again, please. Eustace, we're coming up on our final break here, and we'll close out the program when we come back. If anybody would like to call in, it's 800-313-9443. We've got about 3 minutes left when we come back. Much time left, and I just want to say, remember, www.eustacemullins.com, www.eustacemullins.com. Eustace is E-U-S-T-A-C-E, okay? And I want to say, Eustace, that this book, Murder by Injection, describes in detail the many dangerous and lucrative rackets of these crime syndicates, one that controls the White House today, who are responsible for contaminating our land, our waters, food supplies, and our bodies, and how they've taken over the Food and Drug Administration, American Medical Association, and even giving us chemical fertilizers that have poisoned our soil.
It really has. You can't get that rid of it once it's in there.
Right. Well, let's go to our last caller, Jim in Texas. Jim, you're on with Eustace Mullins. We don't have much time.
Okay, God bless. I just wanted to say, the new book you were talking about, is that the World Order?
The World Order is right out of print right now, but I'm reprinting it in the near future.
Okay, I was looking for the one where you're talking about in the book where you had everything on the Federal Reserve.
Oh, Secrets of the Federal Reserve is in print. I have copies of that.
Yes, very good book, yes.
Okay, on injections, what I know of it is there was still mercury in them. Then they changed to thimerosal, which was over 70% mercury, and now the ones that don't have thimerosal, they're using formaldehyde and aluminum instead.
Oh, boy.
Preservatives. Wow. And Merck just had a report come out today. If you go to Mercola, mercola.com/blog, in his blog, he's got a report published where Merck admitted today that all of their research back when they used mercury, they knew it was poisonous and that it was still in the vaccinations up until 2002.
Gee whiz, my goodness. What do you think? What do you think, Eustace?
Well, I think Al Capone missed the boat because he was called a terrible criminal for selling beer to people, and Al didn't know what was going on. He could have made a lot more money.
Yeah, selling mercury drugs and everything that...
Well, he really did. John Rockefeller never missed the boat on anything. He got in on everything.
Yes. Well, Jim, thank you for that information.
Take care, God bless, and
okay.
I'm going to get a couple books from you, Eustace.
Fantastic. Yeah, we ought to get this book around, Eustace, Murder by Injection, because it covers so many areas of
our... Well, it's 10 books in one. It's got 10 chapters in it, and each one of those chapters is a whole book in itself.
Absolutely. It sure is. And so, folks, and there's other books there, too. I'm looking at my signed copy of The World Order, Our Secret Rulers by Eustace Mullins, and I've got a copy of The Rape of Justice here, and I want to get a copy of The Curse of Canaan. Brother, are you going to reprint that?
Oh, I definitely am. In the near future, people are calling and writing and begging for that book every day.
Okay, I haven't read it. So
well, that's a wonderful book.
Sounds very interesting, so I want to know when that's back in print.
Well, Pastor
brother,
Peters advertised it on his radio program, and I sold out because so many people ordered it. I just was totally out of books.
I see. Okay. Well, brother, we're totally out of time here again today, but I want to tell you, you're my hero, and many of our cops and soldiers appreciate you so much because of all the education you've brought us and knowledge.
Well, I appreciate them, too.
Well, listen, we're going to have you back on again if you'll accept our invitation to talk about some very important issues we haven't covered. So I hope you have a great evening, and thanks so much for coming back on with us today, brother.
It was my pleasure.
All right. Lord bless you now. Folks, that's it for tonight. Don't forget, this old cop here in the high Rocky Mountains of Idaho County, Idaho, truly does love you, America. I truly do. Have a great evening. Good night.